Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. In terms of welcome and announcements, it's mostly welcome. I don't think there's much to make in the way of announcements. I will say that Jim Van Dam had not been feeling well, and so he will not be participating, though he was scheduled to. But other than that, there are no announcements other than that we're glad to see each of you. Our call to worship for this morning is the first four verses of Psalm 105. And we'll stand for the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Let's pray and ask God to bless us. Father, as we come together to worship You on this Thanksgiving morning, we come as Your thankful people. Lord, You have been so gracious to us and blessed us so richly, and You certainly deserve our thanksgiving. And so, Lord, as we come before You, we pray that we would worship knowing that we are in the presence of the Triune God. Be with us and among us and bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read verses 5 through 20. Verses 15 through 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God to bless this portion of His Word to us. Our Father, we thank You for this portion of Your inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. And as we look at this now, we pray that by Your Spirit You would help us to understand it and that You would apply it to our hearts and lives for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be focusing for just a few minutes now on chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to basically think a little bit about the words here. That what we see in this list of reminders of Christian duty is that one of those is giving thanks always to all things, for all things, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. That means, among other things, not just today. It is good, isn't it? It's worthwhile to have a special day to set apart for Thanksgiving. Not only do we have a long tradition of that in this country, going back to the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving with the Indians at a time when they were thankful. Those that were left had made it through a very difficult winter. They were thankful. They had met some of the Indians who were friendly toward them. and they had had some help from them. And so they were quite thankful. Actually, they had made it through a long summer by this time, I guess, rather than winter. Anyway, there's the history. But Thanksgiving at harvest time has been a tradition of God-fearing people going way, 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 as long as they've had harvest. You're thankful for a good harvest. You're thankful that God has blessed. And so it has, the history of the idea of set-apart days of Thanksgiving certainly goes much further back than the pilgrims. And so, while that's true, we are to always be thankful. And that's simple enough. But he goes on, for all things. Thankful for all things. You probably, some of you, many of you know the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. That's one of the ways to kind of help you be thankful for all things. That there are so many things that each one of us has to be thankful for. From the oldest person here to the youngest children, we can think of things that we can be thankful for. Things that we are appreciative of. But we live in a world today at which thankfulness for all things, even among Christians, is sometimes somewhat truncated. We are thankful for, just like the song, your many blessings in terms of things that we count as blessings. And that's somewhat easy to do. But the commandment, it tells us to be to give thanks always for all things. Now, one of the things that is very good and very helpful about being in a Reformed church or a Calvinistic church or having a Calvinistic understanding is simply the understanding that God is sovereign over everything. When we give thanks always for all things, we give thanks to God the Father. Because all of these blessings that we have, even if you're just starting with and counting only the things that are obviously clearly blessings, all of those came from God. And so there needs to be a thankfulness to Him. But because we recognize that we're to give thanks to God for all things, then that means we're to give thanks to God for the things that when we first counted, we left out. When we were counting our blessings and we said this and this and this and this, oh, but not that, that's not a blessing. That's a misunderstanding, isn't it? That, you know, Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And all things means they're all things. The difficult things, Scripture specifically tells us that we are to learn patience in dealing with the difficult things, that those things come from God for our good as well. So we're to give thanks for those sorts of things too. Now, a number of you have come to various understandings of the sovereignty of God over time. Some of you maybe more recently than others. And one of the things that happens when people come to that kind of understanding that God really is sovereign over all things is that usually it clicks first at the mental, intellectual level, and we say that's true. It's working it out in the practical level that's more difficult. And sometimes it takes time for us to get to the point where we actually learn to be thankful to God for the difficult things in life. But He uses those things. That's what His Word claims. All things work together for good. Well, they don't accidentally happen to work together for good. God is working them together for good. in Ephesians, back in chapter 1 of the same letter to the church at Ephesus, in verse 11, Paul talks about Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God is in control over everything, working all things together for good to those who love Him. And so, we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father. To God the Father, because, you know, in our society today, people oftentimes content themselves with this general feeling of thankfulness. You know, well, I feel thankful. Yeah, in general, the word thank as a verb, this is your grammar lesson for today. The word thank as a verb is transitive rather than intransitive. Carl, at least, is nodding. A few of you others back there, remember what transitive verbs are. They take a direct object. You thank someone. You don't just thank. You don't, you know, it doesn't end that way. And we, because of the way our society works, we do turn it around to give thanks, and there you can just stop. But in the Bible, it's give thanks to God, is the idea. Not just a thankful feeling. You know, at home, after your Thanksgiving dinner today, and I'm speaking to you guys and to your kids, to the kids here, okay? After a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner and you feel satiated and full and just wonderful and you want to take a nap and all like that, you probably should thank someone first for all of that good feeling and all of the work that went into it. I'm expressing right now my thanks to my wife, and for the rest of you, your thanks to wives and mothers and all of that for the hard work that goes into Thanksgiving. We express appreciation to someone. That's kind of what Thanksgiving is, or giving thanks is, or thanking is. And so in particular, we're not to be satisfied with a general feeling of thanksgiving. Going back to that little song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. You know, I mean, that's where thanksgiving is. That's why we're having a service here. And that's why you're here is... So I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, in the sense that y'all are here because you recognize that it is God who should receive thanks from us, but for all things. So we should be thinking about all things, giving God thanks for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the verse says. That because we know that our only access to the holy, just, sovereign God of the universe is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for Christians, there's no place for these all-religion embracing ecumenical Thanksgiving services, is there? There's only one God, and thanks is given to Him only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Access into His presence is properly only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is another way to be in His presence, and that is as a recipient of what we justly deserve. But apart from that, our access in any pleasant way into the presence of a holy God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our giving of thanks is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is as Christians that we give thanks. We acknowledge Him. We worship Him. We give thanks to Him. And partly because of all of those blessings that we can name, the chief of them is salvation in Jesus Christ. Is it not the forgiveness of our sins, the adoption as God's children, the inheritance of everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. How much we have to be thankful for. And so, I wanted us to think about this verse. Let me just read it one more time. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to lead us now in a prayer of thanksgiving for the blessings of grace and mercy in Christ. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Father our God, we thank You for Your grace and mercy. We thank You, Lord, that though we are sinners, we can come to You and ask forgiveness as we do even now, confessing our sins. We thank You, Lord, that You forgive us not because of the sincerity of our request or because of our goodness at our good times, our best times even, but because Jesus Christ has paid for all of our sins and does pray and intercede for us at Your right hand even now. Lord our God, we thank You for a Savior. We who are sinners are thankful and give thanks to You for bestowing on us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lord our God, we have so many things. We have so many blessings. But above them all stands this one, that we are Your people, that we are Your children, that we are beloved by You, that You will have us to be with Yourself through all eternity, that death for us will not be an end, that death for us will not result in condemnation, but that death for us will be entrance into heaven. Oh Father, how we thank You for salvation in Jesus Christ, for Your grace because we don't deserve it, for Your mercy because we deserve the opposite of salvation. We deserve condemnation. We thank You through Jesus. And we pray Your blessing on us and the continuation of all of these graces to us through the years. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next thing is thanksgiving for the blessings of Christ's church. Jim Van Dam was going to be leading us in prayer at this point, but he's still not feeling well. And so I will lead us in prayer now. Let's bow our heads together and pray once again. Father our God, not only have we been shown grace and mercy and given forgiveness and granted entrance into eternal life, we have by Your Holy Spirit been brought into Your church. And it is Your church, and it is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the King and Head of the church and the Savior of the body of Christ, the whole church. And we give You thanks for Christ's church. We give You thanks, Lord, for the church as it will be. We thank You, Father, that the church will be, at the last day, a glorious and spotless bride for our Savior when He comes. We thank You, Lord, for the perfections of the church in that day. We thank You, Lord, for the promise that all of the weaknesses that we see in the church of our day will be eradicated, will be gone entirely. And the church will be without blemish, blameless before you at the time of Christ's coming. We're thankful, Lord, that our Savior, who deserves a glorious bride, will have at the time of His great wedding feast an indeed glorious, beautiful, spotless, blameless bride. Father, we thank You for that promise. For that encourages us now as we look at the church around us, the church in the world in our day, and we see much that is blamable, many spots, much that is not holy. We see those, Lord, even in our own church as well as in our own lives. And we're aware, Lord, that as long as we are still sinning, as we will do in this life, that at least our portion of the church will never be spotless. And so we long, though, for that day when all will be made right and Christ will receive His glory. But Father, the church that we look at in our day now with all of its blemishes, even our own with its blemishes, is yet still Christ's church and something for us to be very much thankful for. When we consider the church of our day, we're thankful that it's there, that it is not absent, that the church still takes a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church still proclaims the gospel. We thank You, Lord, that the good news of Jesus Christ is still being heard around the world. In fact, the church is still doing missions, taking the good news of Christ to other nations and tribes and tongues. We're thankful for every element of the church, Lord. We're thankful for our own denomination. We thank You for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, for its history of faithfulness to the Scriptures. We thank You for the long-term commitment that our denomination has to the doctrines of the Scriptures and to putting into practice what is taught in the Scriptures. We're thankful, Father, for a denomination that holds us accountable, and our own regional presbytery, the Presbytery of the Southwest, to which we are more directly accountable. And with the churches of which we have more frequent fellowship, so that even the youth of our church know many youth from other churches within our presbytery, Lord, from church camp and such things. Lord, we're thankful for the encouragement that we receive in the church and within our denomination and presbytery and even within our local congregation, the encouragement of being with others who worship our God, who recognize themselves as we do to be sinners and needing of the help and the intercession and the headship and lordship of Christ, the King and Head of the Church. And we praise You for Christ as the King of the Head and Head of the Church. We thank You, Lord, for other parts of the church around the world. We thank You, Father, for churches here in Pflugerville that are faithful to You, for pastors that I fellowship with in this community that do preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would bless those congregations as well, and we give thanks for them. Father, we thank You for the officers of our church, for our elders and deacons, even for the pastor. And we pray, Lord, that You would keep us thankful. We thank You, Father, for the mission works that are supported by our church and our denomination. for missionaries around the world, church planters throughout much of this country. Father, we thank you for other denominations that are seeking as well to be faithful, sending out missionaries, planting churches. Even with all of its weaknesses, we thank you for the church. And Father, as we look back to not only the church, forward to the church in the future and at the church now, we give thanks to you that you have had a church throughout history. We thank you that in the 1500s, when the church had come to a low and weak state, when the gospel was lost in many parts of the church, we thank you that you brought about, by your grace, the Protestant Reformation, and that the doctrine of justification by faith alone was rediscovered. A commitment to Scripture as the only authority in the church was reaffirmed. And so, Lord, as we give thanks for the church, we thank you for its past and its present and its future, for it is Christ's church. And we pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeff Levy, one of our elders, will lead us now in thanksgiving for the provision of our needs.
Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, as our covenant God, you have kept your covenant promises to us, we who deserve anything but your covenant promises. You have provided for us this past year in so many ways. In your infinite wisdom, you have not given to us what we always want, but what you know we always need. Sometimes you've withheld things because the very withholding of them causes us to grow closer to Christ and become more dependent on you. Sometimes you have withheld your blessing because of ongoing sin in our lives to teach us that while you are a loving God, you are also a holy and just God. Often we think we know what we need, but you have something better. Oh Lord, teach us to trust you more. In making that request, we know what a scary thing that is to ask, because we know that trust comes with obedience, and we chafe at obedience. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We have asked individually and as a congregation for many things this past year, for our health and the health of our congregation, for personal growth in Christ, and for spiritual growth as a congregation, for employment when a brother or sister has been at work without work, for provisions to meet our financial commitments as a church, for marriages and families to be strengthened, for wisdom for our leadership, for visitors to be blessed by coming through these doors to hear the gospel preached, for safe deliveries of babies and the health of the mother, for those who travel extensively in our congregation and their safe return, for the safety of those who have fought for our country, for wisdom to be good stewards of what you have given to us, and for your provisions in a shaky economy, for our continued fellowship with one another as we build one another up in Christ. We sometimes are tempted to say or think, "But Lord, you didn't answer here or there." And then we are reminded that whether prayers are answered or not yet answered, or in a way we want them answered, it is for your glory first. For you have said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, because you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. We pause today, a day set aside so many years ago, specifically to give thanks to you, our Creator, for your mercy and abundant provision to us individually and as a nation. We thank you for your blessings to our congregation. We have only to count your blessings to us and reflect upon your tenderness and goodness to us, to see how you have cared for us this past year. Lord, when we lose our focus and look around on what others have, help us to remember our brother Paul's attitude that I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And for that we thank you. And we pray all these things in the name of Christ and for His glory. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's take our regular hymnals now, the red hymnals, and turn to responsive reading number 147. It's on page 839. It's actually Psalm 147. And we'll read it responsively. And the faint print is when the sound is fainter, that means I'll be doing that. And the bold print is when the sound is larger and you're doing that, and in the large number of you, it will be louder. And so let's read Psalm 147 responsively. Praise the Lord. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He sends His word and melts them. He He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord.
Father, since the beginning in the garden, you have established the family, and we are thankful for that, for those relationships and those that extend beyond to our friends as well. And we ask that you cause us more often to stop and to be thankful for our families and for the friends that you have provided us with, for these many relationships that we have, that we can be a blessing to others, but who are also a blessing to us. And we start, too, with being thankful for the marriages, those especially represented here in our congregation. We ask that you continue to strengthen these marriages, and may each of us in these relationships be more concerned with the building up of the other, as well as the glorifying of you in that relationship, and for that example for the rest of our families as well. We do lift up our the rest of our families. We pray especially for those that we may be away from this holiday season, as that sometimes can be difficult, being apart from others, and we just pray for those other family members that we will not be able to see in person and to be with, but we just pray that we could still encourage and contact each other in other ways, but we just pray for those, again, that we cannot directly be with at this time, and especially for those that may be more lonely than others. We just pray for your grace on their lives. And we lift up, too, those family members and friends that do not know you. And more so than the benefit we may get from them or them from us is the need to know you, to trust you for salvation, and we pray for those that do not know you, that you may draw them to yourselves, that you may use us as the means and vessels in that case to work with, to be with our family and friends, to promote the gospel to them in ways. We pray for those opportunities, and that we would just honor you in the situations that you provide for us, as we cannot save them, but you can, but you still use us in these circumstances. So we pray for those that don't know you, that they would be drawn to you. Again, our families and our friends that we have, we are involved in these relationships by your providence, and we pray that we can be used in them to seek you to be glorified in their lives. We also ask that you give us grace and patience in each of these relationships, especially with our families, since being around each other a lot, it can often be easy to have hurt feelings or to cause problems with one another, and that can happen all too frequently. And we just pray for extended grace for each of us, and again, patience, that we can share with each other so that we do not harm these relationships. And two, for the ability to reconcile in these hurt relationships that we have, for that, of course, is not your desire. Help us each to be humble in these situations, but to seek to be reconciled to those that we may have hurts with or that may have hurt us, so that those relationships can be healed. Again, where we can glorify you best in these relationships that we have. I ask, too, that we ask that you help us in the case of our friendships, that we could seek those friends and those friendships that would draw us closer to you and not away from you. Help us give us wisdom in these friendships and relationships that we seek to build, and that we have, that it would be ones that would truly honor and glorify you, where we could be used to draw others closer to you as well as them closer to us and not away. And we just pray for that, and pray for your help and your wisdom in developing the relationships and friendships that we have. Again, we're very grateful for the blessing that you've given us with these many family members and friends. Help us to use those to build each other up, to seek to honor and glorify you in these relationships, as that is key, not just for our own happiness in that case, although you do use them for that. But help us to build each other up, to draw ourselves and each other closer to you, and to honor and glorify you in our families and in our friendships. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, Scott Deasing, one of our elders, you may be seated. Scott Deasing, one of our elders, will come up and lead us in thanksgiving for blessings of our country and leaders.
Thank you, Alan. Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning. Oops, I forgot to bring my Bible. Fortunately, there's one up here. So, we just had an election. It just ended. And my man did not get elected. The other guy did. So, I wasn't very thankful about that, particularly. But I was thankful that it was finally over. While we pray now to thank God for our country and for our leaders, think in your mind about, or have someone thinking about, that you know who's in the government or an activist trying to make our government better. Think about someone who you can be thankful for along those lines. Before we pray, I'd like to read Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to begin by thanking you for your sovereignty. We want to thank you that we are not sovereign. That it is not up to us to decide who will rule, but that it is up to you. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we acknowledge that you are sovereign over all things, and that every leader, whether it's someone who is a good leader or a bad leader, or one we think is good or bad, every single leader, every single ruler over us has been appointed by you, and that you lift up leaders. You make people rise up to power, and you also bring them down, and all for your glory. And we want to thank you for that. We also want to thank you that all of our government leaders are under your authority, and they are in fact servants of you, and they are therefore accountable to you. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we as Christians are able to point to what is right in Scripture and tell our leaders that they should do those things. We thank you that you've given our government leaders consciences so they know deep in their hearts what is right and what is wrong. We thank you that you have given leaders in America the Bible. So if they're confused about what is right or wrong, they can go look it up in Scripture. So we thank you that we live in a nation where both we and our leaders have so much truth and so much light by which we can govern ourselves. We also want to thank you for the justice that is in our society. We live, by and large, looking at all of past governments and looking at governments throughout the world today, we live in a land of justice. We live where people are not thrown in jail without due process. We live in a land where, by and large, criminals are punished and non-criminals are left alone to do their own thing. And so we thank you, dear God, for the justice that you have given us to live in a just society. We also thank you for the freedom. We are here today, gathered today, thanking you for all that you have given us and thanking you and worshiping you with our thanks. And this is possible because we live in a free country where freedom of religion is a fact. We also thank you that we have the freedom, if we don't like a particular person to be our government, to be the leader of our government, that we have the freedom to speak against them and to work to replace them. And we thank you that we have the freedom to vote. We thank you most of all, dear God, for the peace that we have. We have a peaceful nation, and that is what you command us to pray for, that your gospel can go forward. And so we thank you for the peace that we enjoy. We thank you that when a Republican administration ruled for 8 years and then was replaced by a Democrat administration, that there was no riots, there was no coup, there was no bloodshed. But there was a peaceful transfer of power. And we live in a land of peace. And there is so much war in this world. There's so much lack of peace that I know we take it for granted. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that you've given us. Dear Heavenly Father, I now ask that you would take the people in our minds that we know personally, people who are in the government perhaps, who we believe are doing the right thing. And we want to thank you for them. We want to thank you for the hard work that they do. We want to thank you for the sacrifices that they make. We want to thank you for giving them health and giving them clear conscience and a clear vision of what good government is. We also want to thank you, dear God, for the people who are lightning rods in our society. People who are speaking the truth. And for doing that, they are treated poorly by the media. They are treated poorly by the elite. They are ravaged. And all for just speaking the truth. All for just saying what is actually true. And for pointing out what is wrong and pointing to what is right. And these people are sometimes ruined. And so definitely the reputations are damaged by what happens to them. And we want to thank you for them. We want to thank you for those that do stand up. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for President George Bush. He has not always done everything that we thought was good. And he's not perfect, we know. But he is a good man. And we thank you that you put him in leadership over us for 8 years. And we pray for his family, and we thank you that you would help him and bless him and have blessed him personally. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up to you our government and those in leadership over us, and we thank you for them. We thank you that you've put us in a society of laws and that you have made us to live in a land of peace and prosperity. So we thank you for our government, we thank you for our country, and we give all these thanks because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to wish each of you a happy Thanksgiving. Now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.